From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome back, Chiefs Kingdom. We have a great show for you today. We have the first of two parts with Eric Eager from Pro Football Focus. He's going to look specifically at what's going on with the Chiefs, free agency, the draft, how they improve this roster. It's a great conversation, so much so that we had to break it into two parts. Part one is today, and you'll get the rest tomorrow. A couple of things of note that we should go over just before we get started. The Chiefs did re-sign Stephon Charles. Been with the team once before out of Toronto. It's been reported, although it hasn't been confirmed at the point that we're recording this. So another DT to have at depth for this line. Still don't have a starter to replace Benny Logan, although Benny's not getting a whole lot of traffic. We will see if anything comes of that and let you know as soon as it does, of course. One other thing of note, the Chiefs did make an attempt to get Kyle Fuller, Kendall's brother. They did submit an offer sheet. Unfortunately, the Packers' offer was better in Kyle Fuller's eyes, so he accepted that one. The Bears matched it. It was an uphill battle to begin with, but the Chiefs did make an attempt at securing another outside corner and a guy whose brother is already on this roster. I think it's a great idea. It's just too bad it didn't work out. Well, we'll have whatever other news comes out tomorrow. Why don't we get talking to Eric Eager? And we're back. It's your monthly dose. We appreciate him coming back all the time because there's so much to talk about with these Chiefs. And Eric has a great perspective. Eric Eager, PFF. You guys have heard him before. Thanks for coming back.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So since we spoke, a lot has gone on. And I think we're going to try to get to all of it. But I think let's start with what's freshest. A couple of things that have gone on in free agency that's kind of out of character for this team in particular. But the signings of Sammy Watkins as well as Anthony Hitchens, what's your initial impression on Watkins?
Yeah, I mean, this has been fun. Last offseason, it was relatively, slow in terms of, being able to sign players. It's refreshing to see, the Chiefs go out and get somebody. I mean, I think with Watkins, the only question mark is health and how much he costs, right? And so I think the Chiefs are pretty smart here. They get a player for three seasons, relatively young. When it ends up going, to free agency again, he'll still be like 27 years old. So he'll still be kind of on like the apex of his career. And, when you have an offense with Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, deep threats already in their own right. They led the league in deep receiving yards at their position. Kareem Hunt. Getting Spencer Ware back, you add in Sammy Watkins. I think what it does is it really sort of expands the scope of what this offense is capable of.
It's built to put stress on defenses, right?
Absolutely, right. And I think Chiefs fans, Chiefs fans know this better than anybody, right? If you go back to 2015, I think one of my favorite runs in football history was that like 10-11 game winning streak the Chiefs had in 2015. In the middle of that streak, it was like a rainy game at Arrowhead, and Tyrod Taylor and Sammy Watkins decided for like one half of football that they were going to throw for 200 yards on Sean Smith, right? Right. And Sammy Watkins did like everything. He went over the top. He beat Smith with speed. He beat Smith with his body. He did all of those things. And I think that's really, if you look at Sammy Watkins, the kind of thing he can do is really put stress on a defense. And if a team is going to be like the Chiefs were back then, where they have a cornerback who's simply just a matchup problem some of the time, he's a pretty good cornerback, but a matchup problem some of the time, when you have the Hills and you have the Watkins and the Kelces, you really can't hide deficiencies on your defense when you're facing them.
And what we've seen from him over the course of his career outside of that game, it makes me wonder, and I want your opinion on this in particular. Do you feel like possibly the size of the contract and how much they put into it? Clearly, Brett Veach has been rumored to have been looking for Sammy Watkins since last year. Do you think that single game made such an impression on them that they're overplaying that hand at all?
I that could be the case. I mean, we've seen that before. It was like Eric Walden's always the one that comes to mind, who is like never very good for Green Bay, but he had like a 2 or 3 sack game against the Colts. The Colts signed him to a deal that was twice as, expensive as it should have been. So that certainly does happen. I don't necessarily think that that's the reason. I think, Watkins is a player, he's a top 5 pick in the draft. And for reasons, I think, that were like sort of not his fault, right? Buffalo Bills having quarterbacks like Kyle Orton and E.J. Manuel. And then Tyrod Taylor, God bless his heart, but he's not really a deep down the field type thrower. And then going to Los Angeles, having to learn a new offense in the span of a few months. Like, I think a lot of things, you know, were in Watkins' way. And so, you know, I think in some way, even though we view the deal as somewhat of a sort of an overpriced deal, if Watkins would live up to that top five potential in the draft, it could be actually a bargain for them. So I think that that's really what Beach is sort of taking that bet on with this acquisition.
I have to agree, and the price of doing business is what it is.
Yep.
Well, did you look at this deal, and it definitely shows that Kansas City is going to go and attack on offense. They're trying to be on the attack. And do you think that that's partially because they realize they can't fix what is their issues on defense in one season, in one offseason?
Not only that. I do agree with you that the defense is a bigger issue. But I just think in terms of getting the bang for your buck, in the NFL, winning is generally about drafting a quarterback high, paying him a lower salary than you'd have to pay somebody like Kirk Cousins or Aaron Rodgers or somebody like that, surrounding him with talent and watching him succeed, and then using that extra money around the roster. And I think so the Chiefs currently, we don't know whether or not Patrick Mahomes is going to be a superstar quarterback. I think the returns so far are good, but I think what the Chiefs are doing is very similar to what the Los Angeles Rams are doing, which is to surround their quarterback with as many playmakers as possible, give him the best chance to succeed, and then answer some ancillary questions, I think, later on, which is, you know, are they going to be able to cover people on the outside now that Marcus Peters is gone? Is Eric Berry going to come back and be the player that he was before his Achilles injury? Can they stop the run now that they have two kind of thumper linebackers, et cetera, et cetera? Those questions, in all honesty, they've been answered in the positive for the Chiefs before. And because they had quarterbacks like Alex Smith or even back further along with like Brady Quinn and Matt Castle and Tyler Palco, like it didn't matter because they didn't have the most important thing solved. The defensive questions didn't really matter. And so now I think they're trying to solve the most important question and answer some of the secondary questions later.
I'm really interested to see, especially like you said, getting that the cornerstone set and giving him as many tools as possible to expand the offense. You look at what Sammy Watkins was able to do in the transition to Los Angeles. He actually saw his yards per route run fall. And I have to think, and I've had a lot of people ask me, is that just the transition to a new offense? And I have to think that that's a large part of it. Is that how you see it as well?
Yeah, so we saw that, as you know, passer rating on throwing to him was pretty high. It was like 122, it was fifth in the league. But of course, a lot of that is the 8 touchdowns that he caught on 66 targets, right? But his yards per route run were something like 1.3, and that's going to be, you know, a little bit. That's quite low, actually. And I think, you know, in terms of, you know, so what does that mean? Well, you know, the Rams had Robert Woods. They had, you know, two tight ends that were young and athletic. They gave the ball to Tavon Austin probably a little bit too much. And, of course, Todd Gurley out of the backfield was a very effective player there. So, you know, actually in terms of wide receivers, yard per route run is actually a little less stable than passer rating on throws to a wide receiver. So, you know, I think those two competing things there, you're probably going to see Watkins' yards per route run jump up a little bit. He was in the top, I think, 10 at least in the league in that category in 2015. I don't think that was only because of the Sean Smith game, but you know, I think that there's certainly potential there. And you know, I think also the Rams, like I said, the Rams offense just spread the ball around a lot. And so no one receiver was going to put up terrific numbers in that scheme.
Right. And like you said, his rating was top five in terms of the rating that when he was thrown to. I look at what he's able to do over the course of his career, and he's been, you know, a little bit up and down in terms of yardage. But I think really, like you said, those touchdowns that he's able to produce, even when not even amassing, what is it, 600 yards in 2017, that's got to be a similar role with Tyreek across from him that he's looking at in Kansas City, right?
Right. And I think the Tyreek Hill thing is important to know. Like, the if you look at the whole offense, you know, when you hit on a player like Tyreek Hill in the fifth round, his salary being what it is for how long it is, you're a lot like, so if you take their top two receivers and average their salaries, you're probably doing okay. And what's really, and then, and not only that, but like when you look at Tyreek Hill's skill set, he's very much a down the field player as well, but he does it in sort of a beat you with speed. Whereas Watkins does it with sort of a beat you with physicality. And I think where that's going to get you some more, you know, benefits as if you're looking at the Chiefs is some of their situations that they've had in the red zone where Travis Kelce is a very athletic, you know, very good run after the catch tight end, but he's not one of those like back shoulder fade, Jimmy Graham type tight ends. Tyreek Hill's not a bigger body. So he struggles a little bit more in the red zone than you would wish you would. And you know, they have Spencer Ware and Kareem Hunt, but I think Watkins gives you that like kind of passing threat in the red zone that they really haven't had. And when you're a quarterback like, you know, Patrick Mahomes, where you're sort of not quite sure if this guy's going to turn the corner or not, you know, being able to pay off long drives with touchdowns is something that I think the Chiefs are paying a premium for here.
Well, and I will admit I feel a little weird doing this because I'm usually the one that wants to talk about offense. Ryan wants to talk about defense. But I think we need to flip over to the other side of the ball and talk about Anthony Hitchens and what he means for this defense because he is a great run stuffer. PFF has come out and said he was top-rated inside linebacker?
Yeah, he was very good. He had his run defense grade was very good. He had 38 stops, which some of those are in the passing game, but a lot of those are as a run defender. So he's very good in that role.
Well, and where do you see him being most effective for Kansas City? Obviously, he's going to be good at the run. Do you see him struggling in the passing game?
Yeah, so he actually graded okay in that area in 2016, but I think the stat that I've thrown out there, and passer rating on targets is not particularly stable, but when you see it over and over, you know, he's never given up a passer rating below 98 into his coverage as in his four-year career with Dallas. And so, you know, the question becomes, is out of he and Ragland, which one of those guys is going to be playing the dime snaps, right? When they like to go into the 2-3, you know, the 2-3-6, Nick, you know, dime, and there's one linebacker left over, used to always be Johnson. Who's going to be that linebacker that stays in and covers? Kevin Pierre-Louis, who's left to go to the Jets. Ramique Wilson, who I actually was, you know, I thought was actually a pretty good player. They let him go. So my question is, you know, I think that's an open one. Out of Ragland, I think he's probably got more experience certainly as a coverage player. But I don't necessarily know if you can definitively say he'll be a better player in that role, than Ragland, was a season ago.
Do you, and I'm not sure how PFF breaks it down, but do you draw a difference in coverage, zone versus man?
We do mark whether or not the player is in zone or man, but I don't have those numbers breakdowns for you. And here's another thing that I think is important to discuss with Hitchens when you're looking at, you know, how does he fit in Kansas City's defense? It was a lot like Kevin Pierre-Louis where, you know, he was in Seattle and he was playing an outside linebacker position in a 4-3. He comes in and now he's an inside linebacker in the 3-4. And there's not, I mean, they're both kind of off the ball linebackers, but there is sort of a scheme change there. And I think Pierre-Louis, even though I don't think he graded as well for us, he never really graded well for Seattle. I think he was at least somebody who wasn't embarrassing in when he got his chance to play in the dime and things like that. So, you know, I'm going to like caution the whole, like, okay, he's a bad coverage player kind of narrative here. But, you know, I think it is something to be, you know, something to note here is that both of their inside linebackers that are projected to start in 2018 are guys who have graded better as run defenders than they have as pass coverage players.
And I'm just looking at it from a standpoint of, does he have a strong point in zone coverage versus man, which is what I see when I look at film. And does that change the scope of what they need to do on the defense in changing scheme and the way that they're going to go about their business?
Yeah, Bob Sutton's never really wanted to change his scheme, right? Independent of who they've had, right? With Peters, they never had to move from left to right cornerback, even though they were playing some really good wide receivers who would move around and things like that. So I do think that would be a good place to go if he is better in zone than he is as a man coverage player. You know, what I really think that this says is that, you know, of the free agents that are still available, a lot of them are safeties and a lot of them have that Eric Reed, I've always liked Morgan Burnett as a player to go to Kansas City playing a dime linebacker role. I think that they really have to figure that position out this season. I think Hussein Abdullah and Tyvon Branch really like spoiled us as Chiefs fans for years, being able to play back and play up, you know, as deep safety versus down in the box as a linebacker. And I think Daniel Sorensen, you know, as good as he can be on special teams and things like that, is really sort of disappointed there. But I do think, especially with Ron Parker being gone, they do have to figure that position out. And I think that that mitigates some of the issues that they're going to have with Derek Johnson being replaced by one of these two younger linebackers.
And that's the way it reads to me as well. And like you said, Reed, Burnett, they can play up in the box. Is there a guy in your mind that's still on the free agent market that may be an option just if they're trying to get back to playing single high and a true free safety type?
Well, I think that you have, you know, I honestly think if Ron Parker is on the free agent, you know, if he's unsigned for a while, I actually think last season was more of an aberration for them. You know, with he having to play instead of, you know, he having to play kind of without Barry. He was a very good player in 2016, 2015. So, you know, if the price is right for him, I think that they should probably think about him. I like Tyrann Mathieu in that he could play that kind of role where, you know, you go into the slot in nickel downs, you play a traditional safety, kind of like what Parker played in 2014, 2015, and allow Barry to play free. You know, but he signed with Houston. So I think a guy like Tyvon Branch would be good for that spot. I don't know if he's been signed yet. I need to make sure that I'm not talking out of turn there. But then also somebody like Trey Boston, who used to play for the Los Angeles Chargers previously to that. He played for the Carolina Panthers. I think he'd be a good spot there. I think as you sort of wait this out for another week, if you're the Chiefs, those prices all go kind of down a little bit and you can get a player who is a little bit undervalued and is, fairly valuable, undervalued in the market's perspective of valuable for the Chiefs.
I find it interesting that you bring those two up. And to my knowledge, Tyvon Branch has not been signed at this point when we're recording on Sunday night, folks. And it's funny that for that position, two of the three top guys that we're talking about are guys that have already been on this roster. So I hope that they can figure that out and solidify that position, because I think that's probably, at least for the secondary, the one outstanding sore thumb at this point, right?
Yeah, I think outside cornerback is going to be a somewhere where you're just not going to get good value in the free agent market, but that's their most glaring weakness. I think Eric Murray, if you project him to improve a little bit, you put Sorensen down in the box. That's not like an embarrassing defense, but I do think that they could really improve there. Where they're going to have trouble, I think, is outside cornerback, and the sticky wicket is just the fact that you're not paying all that money to Tremaine Johnson. You're not paying all that money to Kyle Fuller. You're not paying, you know, so you have to basically pray that David Amerson is a player, you know, that he showed in 2015 when he was a PFF comeback player of the year. You hope that Steven Nelson or Kendall Fuller can play on the outside while the other one plays on the inside. I mean, that's really their solution now, which I don't think is tenable, which means you go into the draft and you probably load up on players that can play cornerback for you moving forward. But in terms of positions that can be addressed right now in free agency, I do think safety is probably the most glaring.
What about nose tackle?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good one as well. I mean, Raheem Nunez-Rochus is a restricted free agent, I believe, right? And they put an original tender on him. Is that right? Yeah. And then they have – yep. And then Benny Logan was a player I thought was a little bit disappointing a season ago. And then – yeah, you have Chris Jones who could play in the nose. You just re-signed Jarvis Jenkins, who's, I think, a solid player. Those are positions that I think the Chiefs view, you know, whether it's right or not, I think they view them as sort of throwaways. They did invest a little bit of draft capital in Chris Jones in 2016, and he played very well. I do think that their front seven does need some work. Nose tackle specifically to me, I don't think is that, you know, it's probably why they let down Terry Pogo, but they play so many sub packages that they almost, you know, they barely have anybody playing directly over the center anymore. So, you know, I think from the perspective, you think about Bob Sutton, you know, 5 years ago, and they were a 3-4 defense with Poe playing the sort of traditional nose. I think now if they can get one, you know, or two competent players to play alongside Chris Jones and Alan Bailey, I think that they're probably fine. You know, another concern of mine for them is really their edge player. Can they get a player like maybe Pernell McPhee or somebody like that to play, you know, alongside, you know, Justin Houston on rundown, so Dee Ford can concentrate exclusively on pass downs. You know, is there a way that they can make sure that, you know, Frank Zombo is not being exposed by having to play too much? I think that those are really the things that, you know, their front seven. But I don't think that that's as important as figuring out who's going to cover somebody on the back end, though.
Well, and you mentioned him before. The Fuller trade has come to fruition. He's on the roster, got his number signed and all that good stuff. But I look at him, and I know that he is making the case and quoting Casey Hayward's progression from a nickel guy solely to a guy that can play outside and inside. And from what I've seen, I still feel like he's probably best inside along with Steven Nelson as a slot type rather than on the outside. But if they are taking that gamble on playing him outside, is there anything in particular that you think that he's more susceptible to or that they should look at trying to adapt the rest of the secondary towards?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, we simply don't have a ton of tape to, like, look at that in terms of, like, a season ago, I think it was, I want to say 85% of his snaps were played on the inside, right? It's very much, you know, as we talk about this article that I wrote for Pro Football Focus with my colleague, we're talking about, like, looking at players like Minka Fitzpatrick and thinking about, oh, he's only a slot guy. Can he play on the outside? It's like, for some players, we simply don't have the answer to that question because we haven't seen it that much. And, you know, from what I can tell, you know, Kendall Fuller played a little bit more on the outside in 2016, as did Steven Nelson when he was the second starter for the Chiefs at corner, and both struggled in that role. So I think that, you know, that's the sticky wicket that they're in, is that if one of those guys has to play the outside, it's going to be suboptimal for the defense. But honestly, if we're looking at Fuller and saying, okay, what made him valuable in the slot versus what made him susceptible on the outside, you know, in the past few years, we simply don't have a ton of data to sort of answer that question.
It seems to be the most grand experiment going into this preseason as they work through OTAs. Either they draft somebody, or if we find them trying to make an assignment with another outside corner, I think we get our answer that way. But in the meantime, I think we're kind of just stuck at, like you said, not having enough information to go off of.
Right. And it was interesting because going into last year, they were making the exact opposite experiment, right? They put Philip Gaines inside and he hadn't had a ton of experience there over the previous like year plus. And he was somewhat of a disaster there. Right. So, I mean, my actual orientation is that almost all of these guys get trained as outside corners. So when you can find a guy that's really good at the slot, you kind of, you know, set him there and forget it. And you find guys that can play on the outside. But, you know, when you don't have guys on the outside, that's also scary, too. So I do just think it's probably one of those things where they just have to draft a lot of guys. Yeah, somebody like Tremont Williams, who's had a very good career, like a little later in his career, though, he might be somebody that the Chiefs target once his price is somewhat minimal. I do see them probably signing a veteran as well as drafting somebody. But for now, it is kind of one of those we're making a projection on who they're going to play on the outside there.
PFF underscore Eric Eager. He is your Chiefs guy at PFF. If you're not checking him out and listening to his podcast yet, you need to go do that. Eric, we really appreciate the time and thank you for being with us again.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Always fun.
And folks, we'll be back with you tomorrow to talk about a couple other positions with Eric, and we'll have part two of our talk with him then. Thanks for listening today, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review and reach out to us on Twitter @RyanTreseyNFL and @ChrisClarkNFL. We'll talk to you next time.